Here at 91.3 WLVR, Les Claypool, bassist extraordinaire, most known for his work with Primus, has just released his second solo album entitled Of Fungi and Foe. His Oddity Fair tour is landing at the Electric Factory in Philadelphia on Friday, March 27th at 8 p.m. So, Les, how are you doing today?
Fantastic.
Awesome. I was wondering how you got booked for the Mushroom Men Wii video game soundtrack.
Well, you know, I get these things come across my desk every now and again, and some of them are interesting and some of them are not. And this one was very interesting, visually very compelling, you know, dark and creepy and eerie, and, you know, mushrooms that run around attacking each other. That's pretty good.
And when did you realize that you could develop this score into a full-length album?
Well, I kind of figured as I was working on it that, you know, I've done score stuff before, and I tend to like to use the material for other things. So as I was writing that and writing the stuff for the Pig Hunt film, I knew I was going to use it eventually for some project.
Mm-hmm. How much the new album would you say came from the both the film and the game?
Probably about 2/3 of it.
Awesome, awesome. How much of the percussion and other instrumentation you had on your new album was written by you?
Well, a lot of it was, you know, to use the term written is probably pretty loose. It's, you know, it's usually just me going out into the studio late at night and, you know, throwing pasta at the walls, banging on whatever's handy. And, you know, when you're scoring, you're watching bits and pieces of scenes, quick times, or with the Mushroom Men thing, it was looking at stills and storyboards and whatnot, and you draw inspiration from it. And so a lot of it was just me by myself banging away, and then I'd bring guys in every now and again to flesh out some of the stuff that I wasn't able to get.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the new stuff, though, hasn't been using guitar, and I know recently on your tours, you've been kind of lacking that guitaring as well. Did you know you were going to go into this recording process without any guitar, or did you try adding guitar at certain times?
I've been steering away from the guitar for a while now, mainly because hey, just a change of pace, and you know, I've played with some pretty amazing guitarists on this planet, and so it's hard to do things and not reach that same caliber, and musicians sometimes are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So and just. It's just where my frame of mind has been the past few years. I've been leaning more towards more obscure instrumentation.
Right. Speaking of obscure instrumentation, you were featured on the Zach Hill album from last year. How was it working with him?
Zach is a lunatic. I mean, you know, I've known Zach for a lot of years. In fact, he auditioned for Frog Brigade many years ago. But it was you know, Zach plays the way Zach plays.
And, right.
For him to have been a part of Frog Brigade, I would have had to alter the way I approach music. You know, you play to, you tailor your playing to Zach's approach. So going and working with him is amazing because he just thinks much differently than I do musically, much differently than pretty much any other drummer I've ever met. It's what he does is physically phenomenal, and I've always called him the Tourette's drummer. He just kind of plays all those things that you were always told not to play all
right.
The time.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, and speaking of kind of influences like that, going back from when you were growing up, what do you think the greatest concert you ever attended was?
Well, there's a handful, but you know, one that leaps out to mind for me is Larry Graham. Opening up, supporting Isley Brothers in the Oakland Coliseum, I think it was 1980.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty unbelievable. That was a life-changing concert.
Yeah, it's one of those. For you guys, though, I mean, you were able to headline Lollapalooza back in 1993. How was it returning to some of these festivals in the last couple of years with Primus after a reunite?
You mean playing Lollapalooza in Chicago?
Yeah, like how does that compare from playing back in 93 to 2005?
I mean, it was great to play in Chicago. I'm sort of the festival whore.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've played every festival but Lilith Fair. So I don't want to say after a while they all blend into each other because that would just be false. There's there are some festivals that that shine in different ways more so than others. And I think you know, the Lollapaloozas of the day, and you know, and Bonnaroo, and some of these you know, now there's the Rothbury is a great festival. Some of these festivals are just they're phenomenal. It's a great group of people putting them on, great bands, a good eclectic mix. You know, I tend to be more compelled towards the festivals that really mix up the genres and take chances. You know, some of these other festivals that I've played over the years where it's just one type of music, it's just not as interesting to me.
Yeah, you got to open up the listeners. How did you decide that you wanted to do this Oddity Fair tour?
Well, I've been wanting to do something like this since Lollapalooza 93, and I just have never had had anybody to really help me with it. And I have a new agent now, John Bongiorno, who really took this thing and made it happen for me. Mm-hmm. And basically, the notion has always been I wanted to get, you know, since I've always been sort of the outer fringe oddball guy, I wanted to get other artists like that together, people who have an abstract approach to they're not just their music, but their performance and everything. So it's actually gone incredibly well. The shows are different in different regions, and the Saturday shows, we've been pulling out all the stops and bringing in all these circus performers, and so it's been spectacular. It's actually gone even better than I had hoped.
Good things in store for the Electric Factory. How do you think we can best prepare our crowd for Friday?
Well, there are illegal ways, which I probably shouldn't advocate. But you know, it's a freak show. I keep saying it's a freak show for the freaks by the freaks. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of eye candy as well as audio candy. So it's kind of like a slice of Burning Man and a slice of Barnum and Bailey, all in one evening.
Perfect.
You know, for me, when I was younger, if I could have gone and seen, you know, the Residents and Captain Beefheart, Devo, and Laurie Anderson, you know, all in one bill in one evening, I would have been very excited by that. So that's the notion of this. And this being the first year, it's a little sprout. So I'm hoping that it'll blossom into something that continues to be even cooler and cooler. But,
yeah.
But thus far, it's been very amazing. It's been amazing. You go on YouTube and you can see some of these bits and pieces from the Oddity Fair, and it's really cool.
It sounds like it's been a lot of fun. How hard is it to get away now from you know, from home back in Cali?
Well, this is the first time I've gone out this year, so it hasn't been too bad. You know, I mean, it's been good to get out. You know, when I'm at home for a while, I want to get the hell on the road.
Right.
When I'm on the road for a long time, I want to go home. So.
Yeah, definitely. I hear you there. A lot of musicians have that kind of dilemma once they start to settle down, but obviously you've been still pumping out the records and stuff like that. Going back from way in the beginning, though, I'm a bassist as well. And how did you start rocking the bass, and when did you start rocking on the bass?
You know, I started in the latter part of the 19th century, you know, back when you know, we were using rocks and hunks of intestine.
Of course.
When I started playing, everybody wanted to be Eddie Van Halen, so not that many people wanted to play bass. So
right.
I knew if I got a bass, I could get a gig, and I bought a bass, couldn't even play it, and I instantly had a gig. But I just was always drawn towards, to me, the bass was just a much more sultry instrument. You know, it just had made my testicles rumble, and I like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, it's a common known fact that the bass player is the guy in the band with the largest genitalia. So,
oh, of course.
So I had to grab that instrument.
Definitely. Did you completely self-teach yourself? Were you self-taught?
Pretty much. I had a friend who kind of got me started back in the day, just showed me the fundamental basics, and from there I just watched people.
Mm-hmm. Back when YouTube wasn't around.
I took a banjo lesson once in the 80s.
That counts then. That's definitely counting.
But I found that the lady that was trying to teach me was annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it definitely happens when you're playing instruments that you gotta, you know, start to branch off on your own from your teacher, because you gotta find that own feel for yourself.
Well, I don't think she was real thrilled with me either. You know, I came in there already having played the bass for quite a while, and I was like, hey, just show me a couple things on the banjo and get me going. And she, you know, wanted to show me all the fundamentals and how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I was young and full of beans and wasn't having it. I went once, and that was it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we appreciate you very much, Les Claypool, bassist extraordinaire from Primus, throwing his stuff together for us for our second solo album. He'll be touring throughout this area, Electric Factory in Philly, on Friday, March 27th at 8 p.m. And we're going to have some CD giveaways during the rest of the show. So we'd love for you guys to stay tuned, and we thank a lot for Les Claypool for coming out.
Yeah, no worries.